You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm joined by my guest, Stacy Walden, to talk about the importance of stepping into authenticity. You'll hear Stacy's courageous journey back to her true self and what it took to get there. We discuss why removing our masks and coming out of hiding will ultimately set us free. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we move closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome, welcome, all you beautiful people. Today, I am thrilled to have my friend and a woman of great courage here. Her name is Stacy Walden, to talk about something that I get really passionate about. And that is this topic of how to live a life of authenticity and integrity. So she and I will plan to unpack what those words actually mean and how you can take the courageous journey back home to yourself. You know, that version of you who was there before the world asked you to be someone else. So let me introduce my guest before we dive in. Stacy is a woman who is committed to living a life aligned with those values of honesty, integrity, and authenticity. She is an advocate of empowering women, raising the voices of those not always heard, and helping those people to feel seen. She serves as the national co-chair for her company's largest colleague resource group of over 13,000 members, Women Inspiring Success and Excellence. Stacy, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much, Carrie. It's truly an honor to be here and a little scary to share. I'm excited that hopefully, you know, others can relate to it as well.
Yes. Well, I love your story. I think you are the person to be talking about this very thing because you have embodied it so well from what I have witnessed over the past few years. So it's an honor to have you. And, you know, I'd like to start by asking you to, if you don't mind, go ahead and share a little bit about your story of this journey of authenticity. How did you make it back home to yourself? And, you know, take us back to wherever it feels appropriate to start and how you took the steps to get to where you are today.
Yeah, no. So I think that for me, so the year 2020, which is not a year that we'll all forget anytime soon. I think it was a pivotal year because of the pandemic. But for me, it was that and then some. So just to kind of set the stage in terms of where I was at in life, that point, I'll take a step back into 2019. I was living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I actually had moved there to support my partner at the time and his career. And, you know, very much kind of living that life of checking off boxes of, oh, I've got the career and husband and house and, you know, very much lived my life in that way. And everything was going according to plan. I had moved to Pittsburgh and in exchange, you know, my expectation was a proposal was soon to come. And the year that I was there was extremely lonely. I regretted making the decision because I put someone else before myself. And again, like as I'm talking about this story and reflecting the things that I know now, I didn't know in the moment. And, you know, again, I was so focused on, you know, living that kind of very conventional life of what society tells you your life should look like. And I thought this was, even though I was miserable, I was and we were going to get married. And, you know, it really all fell apart because it got to a point where I felt very resentful that I had made a lot of sacrifices and wasn't really getting anything in return. So at the start of 2020, essentially, I had made a decision that it wasn't good enough. So I'd broken that relationship off and came back to Cincinnati. And, you know, I thought, great, my life is going to get back to what it was before I left. And a month later, the world shut down. And, you know, it was a situation where I thought, well, at least I didn't get stuck in Pittsburgh. and I was at least back home. But what made things worse was, I think it was middle of March, I think, when kind of quarantine really started to happen, is that during that time, you know, I'd gotten a phone call from my dad. My dad's living in Houston, older, 70 years old, multiple chronic conditions. And I just remember telling him, like, Dad, you know, please don't go out in public. He was driving Uber at the time. He was a retired oil guy. And, you know, my dad's not one for following rules. So he eventually went into the hospital, spent several weeks on an incubator, and passed away. Mm. And it was such a shock to me. And it just, like, I think about it now, I'm reflecting back on, like, the trauma that happened, like, one thing after another, like the end of this relationship, the world shutting down. And, like, my dad, you know, this extremely complex relationship that I had with him, you know, all of a sudden, he's no longer there. And I, like, think about it, and it's emotional for me. So that's what you're hearing kind of through my voice is, you know your life is a story, right? If you're watching a movie, right, and you see the main character, supporting characters, and I, for him, very pivotal in my life. And, you know, when he died, it was so hard because in my mind, I was like, oh, what's my story now? What does my, and I felt very lost. And you know, when I look back on that time, is that I just suppressed everything because that's what I'd learned to do. But his death was really, I would say, the impetus for this, because it caused me to start questioning my life. You know, I said previously that I was doing all the things that the world expected me to do. And it, when I started questioning things, is when I realized, like, wait a minute, do I want to get married? Do I want to do all these things that the world's telling me to do? So that's when it really started.
Mm, wow. Everything about your story just, like, gets me fired up, because what I hear you saying is, you know, when you conform to what society says, you get kind of put into a box, and the natural byproduct of that is suppression. And that's, it's uncomfortable and painful, but we often are not even conscious of it. Right. But what you did is that something in you said, I want more. Like, even with your relationship, you had an awareness that it wasn't enough. And then after that, started questioning, like, after the catalyst of your dad's death, that began that questioning process. And I always say, you know, when you get curious, it gets you in the best kind of trouble, if that's what we even want to call it, like the good kind of trouble, because that's what starts to lead you to more, right? And so it's so painful to get to that moment of awareness and to really see or wake up, but also it's the beginning of a liberated life. And that's what I've seen you just go fully after and heal from the challenges of your past. So, you know, that kind of segues into my next question, Stacy, which is, you know, do you mind sharing some of the specific obstacles, aside from your dad's death, that you had to overcome to be able to rediscover you and reclaim this authentic, more authentic version of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the biggest obstacle, it was just, it's the awareness. You know, some of the, like, you don't know what you don't know. And so a lot of the you know, ways that like I have these light bulb moments is because I experienced these situations and asked myself these questions. And then I was, you know, all of a sudden enlightened to, huh, okay, there's something that's driving that reaction in me. You know, it was, you know, one of the biggest light bulb moments I can recall having was having a conversation and, you know, just to share with everyone, I regularly see a therapist, and it's been, you know, such a huge help because I've had someone help me navigate a lot of these questions and where I need to be looking for those answers. But we had a conversation and I remember telling her, yeah, I'm just trying to tell this person my perspective, because if they see my perspective, then they'll understand. And then she's like, well, why do they need to understand? And I sat and thought about it for a second. And I thought, well, then if they understood, they'd be closer to me. And she's like, right. And they have a less likelihood of like leaving you. And then she was like, because you're scared that you're going to be abandoned. And I was like, what? You know, and it's just been a series of these, you know, enlightened moments. So for me, it was definitely like the questioning and then really, which I don't think sometimes is very, it's very evident. So like for me in this instance, having a therapist was extremely helpful to ask me, to force me to go a little bit deeper than I knew where to go. But I think on the other side of that is, you know, when you do get to these moments of more awareness, it can be a little difficult. There's a grieving process that I know I went through, is that when I learned more about who I was, you know, I think we all have a tendency to like beat ourselves up for decisions that we make. And I look back, especially like at, let's take the relationship with my dad, you know, referenced it was a complicated one, and it was because I, all my life, just never felt that he loved me. And it was difficult in his death because there was no way for me to square that up. There was no way for me to reconcile, right? I lived this entire life of wanting his approval. And that's what's kind of built who I am today. I'm an achiever. I go and do things because that's how I feel seen. And, you know, not having him there and it was hot, like not having him there to like reconcile that. But then it got me to a point of like more compassion and understanding, you know, what I know now, and like looking at him and realizing that, you know what, he didn't feel very loved in his life. And he had a lot of baggage to carry. And so it's been a process, you know, and it's like in stages. And it's definitely not look, I think anyone who's ever kind of done this inner work or has gone down this journey, it's hard. And like, if anyone's like me out there, you know, I tend to be a perfectionist. I'm always like, where's the end goal? This work, there is no end goal. It's you get to a level and then you just continue the journey.
That's right. That's right. And wow, I love what you said. I mean, the first step is that awareness, right? And to even get to awareness, you have to even be curious. And sometimes these painful situations and circumstances, they push that needle forward or catalyze the curiosity. And then that, you're right, it takes you down this path of like, okay, what's really going on here? Whose life am I living? And, you know, I thought to myself, you know what, maybe it'd be helpful too to define the word authenticity, because some people, it's kind of a buzzword and like, what does that actually mean? But one of the things that you said that I think is inherent in the definition, it's not abandoning yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about how you have this sort of fear of abandonment that was connected to your dad. But in the process, when we conform, whether it's to the parent or to a system or to society, we will abandon ourselves. And so kind of like starting with that, like you said, compassionate, self-loving attitude or position and reparenting yourself is a huge part of this journey back to the real you, not the one that everybody's conditioned you to become or told you who to become. Right. And I've seen you do that. I love how you have essentially taken responsibility for the things that you want and need out of life that weren't maybe provided by your father or your spouse. And you take ownership and you heal, you become more whole because of that. And that takes so much courage. I mean, this is, I don't know if you've heard of The Hero's Journey by mm-hmm. Joseph Campbell. But it's this concept about, you know, we all are invited to this calling or the journey back to self, the authentic self. And we go through, we have to slay dragons along the way. We have mentors and sages who meet us, and then we overcome, and then we go back and we contribute what we've learned to other people. And so it's the basis of all really good movies and storylines, but that's what it is. And that's what you have done. So I think, you know, even that step to get the therapist or to dig deeper is a huge, I don't know, it's movement towards saying, like, I'm going to actualize that more in my life now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I love the question of, you know, what is authenticity? You know, I, you know, work in a professional job, you know, we hear a lot about authentic leadership or, you know, just being more authentic. And I think there's a misunderstanding about what the word is, at least from my view. I think sometimes people come in and assume that it's like, oh, I'm just going to say whatever's on my mind. I'm just going to share my opinion no matter what. That to me is not what authenticity is. That's not being aware of your audience.
So, yeah. read the room.
Exactly. Some things aren't meant to be said to everybody. And believe me, I struggle with that sometimes too. My therapist could tell you all day long that I'm an all or nothing type of person. And I'm like, well, if I'm this way here, then I should be this way across the board. And she's like, no, no, you shouldn't. Especially like in my corporate life, sometimes I, you know, can maybe share a little bit too much. But anyways, going back to the question is, to me, you can only be as authentic as what is authenticity to me means being true to who you are. And it's not being unfiltered. And I'm not saying that if you don't know who you are, that you're not authentic. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that, you know, going back to who you really are. And it, to me, a lot of this is kind of tied back, and some of the personal work that I've done is like this inner child kind of reparenting work, because a lot of the realizations I've had is, you know, I can tie back to things that happened to me as a kid. And those realizations have probably been the biggest, you know, as I've been on this journey to rediscover who I am. And I have a great example is when I was young, you know, I would oftentimes be criticized for being too sensitive. You know, and all the time, like, you know, and my dad would always, you know, tease me in his way, just like, oh, I was just joking with you. You're way too sensitive. You're way too emotional. I heard that my entire life. Yeah. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to get to a point where I now embrace that. And I say, you know what? I'd rather feel all of the range of emotion of a human being than feel nothing at all. Yeah. That is a superpower, and that is not a weakness. And it has been a journey to get there. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally have a sweatshirt now. And I'll put a plug in for this, this person, who sells these sweatshirts. The URL is like see the way I see, SEE. But anyways, the sweatshirt says emotional on the, like big on the chest. Mm-hmm. It says emotional. And then on the sleeve, it says, and that's okay.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that, Stacey. I'm going to try really hard not to go down this rabbit trail, but I can so relate. I was told the same thing, like, you're too sensitive. And at this point I've learned, like you said, it's a superpower. And when we experience like harsh things in our childhood, it desensitizes us. Yes. We are less attuned to other people and to ourselves, almost like more robotic. Right. And so to me, like, getting back in tune with your feelings, your emotional world, your body, like that creates a lot more wholeness, happiness, mm-hmm. right? And so, and then you can kind of sense things more. It's so backwards the way the messages that we've been taught, that to take away that part of ourselves, when really it's inherent in every human being. And it's like this thing that magnifies our existence. And I think in a really good way, it can be overwhelming sometimes to be sensitive, but it's a wonderful part of being human.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I totally agree. And it's, you know, I think it's part of myself that I embrace now, that I am happy to say that I feel those things, because now when I see, I guess the other thing about it too, is that like, because of that criticism, what I learned as a kid was to suppress that part of me, you know? Mm. And so this is where, like, when you think about, you know, as an adult and looking back on your life and the things that really shaped you, that was one of the things that shaped me, you know? It was very much this survival, don't show that you're emotional, stiff upper lip, you know, and that has very much molded who I am as an adult, that I've had to deprogram literally thread by thread. I've had to pull back this curtain of, I'm not this robot. I am a human being, and I'm not weak. I'm not invaluable because of that. And what's so cool about it, and it's something that I'm leaning into now, is authenticity for sure, but just the uniqueness of the person that I am, and that I'm the only person that can bring what I bring to the table, and no one else in the world can. And there's something so powerful and empowering about that for me, that like, although it can be scary, because as a kid I was told, oh, this is bad. And as an adult, I've had to tell myself, no, this is good. And you should continue being this way, because it's going to serve you and what your purpose is here in life.
Mm, I love that. I love that you touched on that, because I totally agree. We all have our own unique thing to embody, to contribute. It's unlike anyone else. And so, yeah, kind of claiming that and saying, I'm not going to be this robot. I'm going to be fully me. So I want to pivot for a second and talk about, you and I are very much both into women's empowerment. And I sit with this question quite often, and that is, you know, why women especially, I think it's true for men as well, but I see women really struggling to live a life that's true to themselves. And so in your opinion, Stacey, like why do you think that is, or what do you see as are the forces that women contend with the most?
Yeah. So this is a topic of conversation in the resource group that I lead that you referenced in the beginning. We talk about this a lot because I think, you know, women, and I will, I guess for this conversation claim it is women, because I think women are, we live in this world of should, you know, and I think that because we all have a need to be accepted and not judged, it's kind of human nature, right? We want to conform to a certain degree because we don't want to feel like we're different, because that's scary. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the roles that women have held, I'm going to continue down that path because that's what's expected of me. And if I veer off it, then I'm at risk of being judged, right? Like one of my most favorite podcasts, Finding Mastery, Dr. Michael Gervais, he always uses this term in his podcast, and it's called FOPO, fear of other people's opinions. And we as human beings, right? And he says it, and I just so agree with this, that fear of other people's opinions or judgments, however you want to put it, it's the greatest constrictor to human potential. And I could not agree with it more. And I think especially it applies to women, because, you know, we're kind of labeled as, you know, we should be good girls. You know, people are like, oh, you should be smiling. You should be a mother. You should be all these things. And if you're not those things, then there's something wrong with you. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we still have a long way to go from, you know, culturally and from our own society in terms of, you know, why are women being put into a box? You know, I can say for myself, you know, going back to the beginning of my story about how I was on this, like, oh, I've got to get married, I'm going to have kids. And, you know, when I think back on even kind of before that time, and I have been married before, every time I've tried to go down this, you know, you can't see me, but I'm air quoting conventional life, it is. And to me, that's a sign from the universe saying, you know what, Stacey, that's probably not the thing for you. And I'm not saying that I'm never going to get married and, you know, or whatever, right? Who knows what could happen, but I'm doing things on my own terms, on my own roles. You know, I'm not going to do something because I think I should. And by the way, like it's still a process I have to go through today, right? This isn't I've gone, you know, through this kind of awakening and suddenly I know everything. No, I don't, you know, like I was having a conversation even today about my career with a mentor of mine. And she told me, she said, "Stacey, I see you putting pressure on yourself that you should climb the corporate ladder because you think you should do that. But is that what you really want?" And I needed her to remind me that, right, that's what the world is telling me I should do. Mm-hmm. But maybe I need to pause and ask myself. And I think about this too with like dating. And not that I'm dating right now, but like in the past when I was actively dating, you know, I think a lot of women go through this like, oh my gosh, does he like me? Does he like me? But do we ever pause and say, but do I like him?
Yeah. I know it sounds so like simple and common sense, but you're right. Like we tend to defer or please or prioritize them.
Yeah. And I think that as women, that's what, like what we're seen as, like we, and it's hard, like I said, to get out of that box. And here's the other thing is sometimes we aren't even conscious that we're in that box. Oh, and yeah. I'm saying that because like, for me, when I moved to Pittsburgh, I never thought anything of it. I'm like, oh yeah, this is my life. This is what's making me happy, right? Sometimes you're not always conscious of it. You're kind of operating in this unconscious way. And I'm not saying that's bad, but for me, it took a tragedy losing my dad and going through that process to really start questioning, is this what I really want? And I'm sharing that because to be the case for others, like
yeah,
sometimes I think that, like, you know, had my dad not died in the time that he did, and you know, would I've ever gotten to this place of where I was leaning into more of who I am and embracing like my life and embracing my own authenticity? And I don't know, right? I don't know for sure, but that was the thing that woke me up. And I guess my hope for everyone else is don't wait for a tragedy to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, start taking the time now, whatever that might look like, to really start asking yourself what it is you really want. You know, if you could do anything and not have anyone judge you, what would you want to be doing?
I love that, Stacey. I, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about what women specifically, like the ways that we're conditioned and the systems in which we are complicit in, like you said, mm-hmm. are unconscious of. And you're right. I think there is this, I always say there's a duty and then there's desire. And so are you doing things out of obligation because we've been taught to please others that our needs come last, or do you do it because you want it? And there's something so almost provocative about mm-hmm. the question, what do I want? Because it insinuates selfishness. And that is true on some level, but it's the healthiest version of that word.
Yeah.
Because when you operate from that at your core, well, that opens up like true joy and happiness. You're following you and what's calling to you. And that doesn't mean you never help other people or make a sacrifice here and there, but to have that be the driving force behind the why behind what you're doing, that opens up to that life of freedom. And then, geez, everything changes after that. And I could so relate to you because it took a crisis for me as well. It took me getting divorced to wake up to whose life am I actually living here? And I had no idea. I thought I was happy, and I was in a way, in a kind of a unconscious way, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of denial there too. And so when you come out of denial and you actually say, oh, something's out of line here, and this catalyst is helping you to see that, it's like, wow, where do I want to go next? And that's when you get on this journey, which is full of all kinds of twists and turns, but to me, it's the most exciting one. So,
And like something you said around you know, sometimes I think this very, very much definitely applies to women, is we feel selfish, you know, in this women's group. You know, I'm a dog mom, right? But I don't have children of my own. And so, you know, I hear a lot of stories around, we're actually about to do an event on burnout, kind of specific towards women, but a lot of moms talking about like the guilt that they feel about, you know, maybe not spending enough time at work, not spending enough time at home, not getting everything done. And so many women I've talked to have come to this point of burnout because, you know, we think our natural, you know, for me too, is that we just want to give. We want to make people happy. And like part of that is definitely kind of society has put that on us. But I think, I don't know, for women, I feel fulfilled if I can help someone, you know, if there's an opportunity. But I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe we don't care about ourselves enough. And we have to, you know, it's like, I heard this recently, like, you know, when you're on a plane and they're giving you instructions that like, when the masks fall down, like put your own mask on first before you can help others. I feel like that's really the way we should be approaching our lives, is that like, make sure your cup is full, because then you can do a better job of taking care of others. And it's not selfish at all. It's self-care, and it's what we all should do to kind of live this authentic, but even fulfilled life. Because if you keep on pouring into other people's cups without having it in return, or at least taking care of yourself, then I think it's going to lead to a lot of unhappiness, stress, all those things that, you know, we don't want to experience. And like, again, I think that is lean, and not, you know, obviously men out there, I want to recognize and acknowledge men out there who are also experiencing this, and even, you know, taking care of children, things like that. I don't want to not say that that's not something you experience as well. But I think from a just a prevalent standpoint, like, for sure, you see a lot happen in women.
Yes, definitely. I feel like this is a common thread that shows up in my podcast all the time, is this idea of selfishness isn't selfish in the way that we've been conditioned to believe it is. It's loving the self. And it's so funny, like it sounds so simple, but like this is a societal pattern that is established that takes a lot of work and awareness to really pivot out of. So it's just one of those things. I know for myself, I just have to constantly like be aware of, intentional about, and get back on the train, you know, over and over, because it's like, oh, there, I'm doing that again. I'm forgetting me. So, okay. I want to add a couple questions here. One of the things that a phrase that I've been kind of enamored with or curious about for the past couple of years is this phrase people say sometimes called take your power back. And I do think it relates to this topic of authenticity, because when you do that kind of, let's call it a reclaiming of self process, there it's empowering. So I don't know. I'm just curious to know, Stacey, like how do you interpret that phrase?
Yeah, I'm smiling because I feel like I'm kind of in that process myself. And it's to me, it's as scary as it can be, just you are different. And using that to your advantage, you know, like I think, and I'm very guilty of this. I say it a lot to my therapist, but I so many times feel like I'm the person on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And that feels scary and lonely. But I think when you flip your mindset, it's like, you know what? I'm doing something no one else is doing. And that makes me, in my mind, unique and special, you know. And I think like taking power back, I don't know, because I'm very like career oriented, but I think about it in that way. And I think about sometimes I work for a very, I would say, conservative company. And so sometimes I feel like I'm not a person out because I'm very colorful and I try to humanize conversations, and that makes me feel scared sometimes, because sometimes I think to myself, oh, you know, people are going to judge me because I'm not being conservative. I'm not putting myself in this box. But what I have to constantly tell myself is, no, Stacey, you're standing out. You're standing out. And like the other thing with this is like, in terms of like taking power back, is I think the more you lean into who you are truly, and even though that can be scary, like the sooner you get there, the sooner you figure it out, then guess what? The sooner, the faster, like, you know where you're supposed to be. And I think about that, like, from the table you're supposed to sit at. So if, for example, let's just take my job, right? And like my boss in this moment says, oh, she's too talkative. Well, then maybe I don't want to be in a place where I can't be as talkative because that's part of who I am. So maybe that doesn't fit me, right? Mm-hmm. And so like for me, it's very empowering to feel like, okay, I'm going to lean in more into who I am. And then what's meant for me will come to me because I'm leaning into that so much. And that's mm-hmm. how I feel. Like that feels very powerful. And that, like, even sometimes we get really nervous that if I do this thing, it's going to negatively impact. And maybe it's meant to happen. And maybe that's mm-hmm. navigate it. And it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to.
I love that right there, because it's this decision to say, I'm going to show up fully as myself or as much as I can handle, and then detach from the outcome, let the chips fall where they may, and trust that this is just whatever it is a step mm-hmm. on my journey. Mm-hmm. Even if there's loss involved, it's this kind of like, well, at least I showed up as me. And that yes. in and of itself is so empowering.
It really is.
So it takes a really strong mindset, I think, to get there. But that's, you're right. It gets you in that seat of power. And, you know, one other thing I'll add that we were talking about before, you know, you mentioned standing out. And I think that is kind of one of the byproducts of becoming more authentic and expressing mm-hmm. yourself, is that you will be different. And that can be scary because you don't want to be ostracized or you'll feel rejected. However, the vulnerability that it takes to stand out, like you are doing today, even just sharing your story, is its own way of saying, may not feel like this, but it is a powerful move. That is what truly connects us to the human dignity in each other, because we all feel vulnerable from time to time. We all have struggles. And when you're the one to kind of put yourself out there truly and freely as you, then another person's like, whoa, I see mm-hmm. myself in you. And it probably inspires them to take a step forward. So I agree. I think there's a lot of ways that we can, you know, make this real in our life, like maybe through boundaries or saying, you know, I've not allowed myself to take up space, but guess what? I'm going to talk more, like you said, or I'm going to assert myself a little more. Mm-hmm. And all of these moves, they put us when I say power, I mean, I think there can be a negative connotation given that, like, you know, there are these authorities in our culture that dominate with power, but this is not that. It's like a, how would you call it? It's a power that is life-giving. It's mm-hmm. connecting. It's not lorded over somebody.
It's purposeful. You know, I think that, like, as you're talking, it's making me think about a lot. I think I've referenced this in some of our email exchanges about, like, you know, I think it's a big thing to figure out what your purpose is in life. And I'm not saying I've got it all figured out, but one of the things that I've thought about a lot is, you know, how do we create more opportunities for people to be authentic, and kind of specifically voices being heard, having a seat at the table. And I think that there's a lot of value in empowering other people to do that. But just kind of as we think about our society and the world, we all benefit from everyone sharing their own perspective, because you hear one voice, you hear one voice. And if you think about a lot of things happening in today's society, it's only representative of a certain voice. And I think that, you know, let's give the people in the back an opportunity to speak, because there's value in that perspective. You know, like, another buzzword out in the world is diversity. You know, we talk about it a lot as well, but to me, it's more than a buzzword. It's, you know, I think about how I have felt in various situations, career or otherwise, where people have made me feel that my voice doesn't matter. And it does. And, you know, don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't, because everyone's perspective is that it just makes the world better. I think that, and I know it can be scary, but you know, it, whatever motivates you as a person, you know, for me, it's like, I'm very driven by purpose and motivation and improvement. But we all owe it to the world to bring our uniqueness to the forefront. And, you know, that's our contribution. You know, like I go through these stages and I get some laughs sometimes where I ask these existential questions, like, what am I here to do? Why am I alive? And, you know, and I really think that it's, you know, I am here for a purpose, and I am here to share my own experience. And, you know, if someone can relate to it and feel empowered to take a step in questioning or leaning into who they really are, then for me, that's a huge win.
Mm. Spoken like a true leader. I just have to say that. Really, I love that.
Thank you. I love how
you're emphasizing using your voice or allowing space for others to use their voice. Because that answered my next question, which was going to be around, like, how do we do this? And that's one very simple step that we can take. And so, okay, Stacey, I mean, I could talk about this all day long, but sadly, I got to cut it off so that the listeners will continue to listen. But I want to ask you the final two questions I always ask my guests. And the first one is, what are you up to today that has you excited?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the very, very honest answer is, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. and that applies to personal and career. I'm kind of at this crossroads where there are a lot of balls in the air, and you know, I'm not quite sure how they're going to land. And in fact, I talked to my own therapist this morning about it. And you know, I think that instead of leaning into what I'm leaning to, and that's anxiety, it's leaning more into excitement to what is on the other side of all this potential change that's happening in my life, personally and professionally. And so that is the, and I am on this like lifelong journey of continuing to question and getting people's perspectives and continuing to learn about myself. So that's not a clear cut answer, but I think it's just, I'm figuring it out, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners are in probably a very similar place. Is I'm taking it day by day, and I'm excited for what's to come.
Girl, welcome to the club of not knowing.
You know, you feel sometimes you talk to people and they're like, oh yeah, I've got a whole plan for my life. And believe me, I've been that person, but because I know what I know now and how life plays out, and you can plan all day long. And sometimes, like most times, right, it doesn't ever go out, but yeah, sometimes like talk about authenticity when I ask someone like, oh, you know, what do you think? Like, I love when people are like, I don't know.
Yes. Right. Because, well, and I think you and I know at this point, like anything can change at any moment. So even your best laid plans, I mean, there's going to be holes in them. And so, you know, I love how too, you're distinguishing between maybe nervousness and excitement. Like I always say, there's a fine line between the two. Mm-hmm. And if you can just kind of like frame it in this more exciting, this is unpredictable, it's unknown way, it allows for the unfolding of that process to just be more fun and interesting. And, you know, you got to keep trusting like the next step, but then it becomes this adventure that's not so boring and predictable, and you can just ride it, right?
That's practice, by the way. So, I mean, that is like I said, I've been programmed to be like, have a lot of feelings of anxiety. You know, I am a very anxious person, which again, I think most people suffer from, but it's truly a change in mindset. And you only do that by your self-talk. And I have to constantly come back to be excited for this, because you don't know what's around the corner. It could be the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life. So I think it truly is just that continuous conversation you have with yourself about things are always working out for me, and they will. Even if I have to go through some adversity, I know I've been through a lot of adversity in my life, and I'm going to be able to maneuver it, whatever is coming my way.
Preach it. I love that. Okay, Stacey, if people want to find you, can you tell us what are your coordinates? Where can they locate you?
Yeah. So, you know, if anyone ever feels compelled to reach out, and Carrie will tell you, I'm open to connecting and I want to build more relationships. So if anything that I've said resonates and you want to talk more, I'd love to connect. You know, my Instagram handle is at Stacey L. Walden. So StaceyLWalden, or StaceyLWalden@gmail.com. I would love to hear from anyone if anyone's interested in connecting. So I appreciate the opportunity.
I love that. Yes, I will definitely post that in the show notes so people can easily find you and maybe they'll strike up a conversation. So Stacey, it has been such a pleasure to have you here today. I've been wanting this conversation for a very long time, and we all, I think, got to benefit from your insights, the wisdom that you've gleaned from making these courageous steps, and how we can all kind of lean more into our authentic selves so that we can have this life that has more freedom, more integrity, and more inner peace and power. So I'm so grateful for your vulnerability and you being willing to share it with us here today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So everyone, I invite you to go check out Stacey on Instagram. And I thank you for taking the time to tune into this episode. And until the next one, I just encourage you to reflect on who you were before the world told you to be someone else. And to maybe consider taking one tiny step in the direction of reclaiming your truest and most powerful self. If this episode resonated with you, I have something that you may love. Part of what helps me live a life free of stress and anxiety is embracing genuine connection with myself and others. Building a coaching business centered on this principle has sparked many of my clients to their own success. So if you're looking for a way to overcome your fears and insecurities while building confidence, I invite you to check out my 12-week program, Connect to Your Core, where I help you discover your authentic self so that you can live a life of passion and purpose. I'll link it in the show notes, so check it out if you're interested. I'm so glad you joined us. So remember to stay connected.